Dan and Ren and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
With co-host Arm and Dan Benders, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Population Todd Glass.
Todd Glass, you are here with us, one of our favorite comics for years. We've been, our friendship in the industry goes back 20 years, okay? 20 plus now.
I feel like in, where was it, Aspen, where we sort of got to know each other.
Yes, and we talked Jerry Lewis and we talked Rickles, and that was where we connected on all that stuff.
But I know we met way before that at the at the comedy in Princeton, New Jersey.
Yeah. When you came on stage and did one of our bits as your opening bit, and then, you committed to it for like 10 minutes or 7 minutes.
And you were like, did the Sklar do my fucking bit? Did they do my goddamn bit? Those sons of bitches.
And the crowd thought that we were the biggest thieves
of your material. It was such a great joke that was only perpetrated for our benefit. And we are laughing in the back like crazy and also thinking these people don't like us. But you just played it and committed to it perfectly, which is actually a great bridge to the current special that we saw. First of all, we got to see you do live at the Improv Lab. It was so great because you called us out on the side. Just
I love that
there.
You guys were there.
So we had a set. We had a set up at the Strip, and then we had another one down at the Improv. And we're like, we could hang out at the Strip, but we knew that you were doing your show at the Lab.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, not the Strip, the store. And then we knew that you were
doing your show at the Lab.
So we came like, hey, now we want to watch the show. And we sat down, and it was so wonderful just to sit and watch you work the show, which is very similar, if not all the material, most of the material, right? It kind of similar in form to your special that will be coming out on Netflix.
It's, you know, I don't really, you throw it all out right away. I hope it works. I hope I'm not delusional. I always say if someone comes back a year later, I'll have like 40% new material.
That's what we do.
So before I did stand up, unless I'm delusional, if I went back to see, now I did tell my close friends, I honestly said this, I go, listen, if I'm not doing that, like, be honest with me.
Yeah, tell me.
Just say, Todd, I have a theory. You have to beg your friends for honest feedback, not ask for it.
Yes. Sure.
Because if you remind them on the road, like, hey, if there's a bit I do, I always say that to somebody, and you have to remind them because after the show, everybody wants to have fun. You don't want to go, hey, you know that bit you do? Yeah. But if you remind them, they'll tell you. And 99, if not 100% of the time, I go, I know, I need to get rid of that.
I got to get rid of
that's
that
an old one. Yeah. So I said the same thing with material. I go, if I'm way off and behind my back affectionately, you're going, yeah, it's not 40% after a year, tell me. But that's what I comfortably write new material at. Instead of trying to, not that I could get a new Netflix special every year, but even if I could, I wouldn't enjoy my life.
Right.
Like, I like to slowly shed it. And then when you actually are getting ready, it's like 3-4 years later, you're getting ready to do another special, and you know it's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, it rushes you to pick it up
perfect
a little.
Perfect it, and yeah. Absolutely. Well, this special, and Jay and I, and Dan, you sent us the link. So
I showed it.
You showed us the link, and we sat in my kitchen on Dan's phone and watched the top of the show. I'm just going to tease it for people, because when this comes out, when's it dropping? On
January 20th. 23rd.
Okay, so it'll be in a couple, when this will drop like a week or two before. So when it comes out, you guys, everybody rush and see it when it drops.
Rate it five stars,
pass along. It is everything I love about comedy and everything I love about what you do. I think it's the purest
version
of you and form of you. There are jokes about the room and the setup and what you have set up with the band and the everything. There are jokes of you passing out sheet music to the band and the Todd Glass bits that to me are like, only you can make that joke. Yeah, only you can do that.
The band, you know, I've been trying to insert, before this, I was going on the road and getting bands in different cities, like two-piece band, three-piece band.
And
2 hours before the doors open,
We You're just working go over, on it. Yeah.
We go over some stuff, and I find out what they know. It's not like me go play this to intro me. Maybe there's two songs ahead of time I give them. You got to know these two.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm like, well, what are some songs you know? I go, great, we'll use that for my intro.
Yeah.
Well, give me something else upbeat. I'll be like, no. But having a band that travels with me is what's going to probably change, even if it's a keyboard and drummer, because now I have the taste. You can do more when the same band is with you every night.
They can jump in on the
their
bits.
Interaction yes. with you and of what we Gold. Saw at the Gold. Improv at the Lab improv. Is so good. So what's the name of the special?
And real quick, hard to explain, but I know I'm the stand-up, so it's funny saying it this way, but it's basically you're going out to see a stand-up comedian, obviously.
Sure.
But then it's like watching sketch. It's not sketch where it's necessarily I'm the this father, is, you're the mother.
No. But it's, you
this seem is like what we do.
What
when
we
we're on
do
stage.
When we're on stage, we're doing a stand-up premise, but then suddenly we're now in a scene between the two of us. You're about to go into a stand-up bit, and you get sidetracked by another thing, a sketch thing that you do with the band.
The band is basically, you know, Sarah Silverman said it the best. She goes, "It's almost like you have this group of people. They look like serious musicians, and they are,
and they're amazing,
but they have a great sense of humor."
Amazing.
So it's like all they do is lie all night long. I go, "Did you remember the song?" They say, "Yeah." I go, "No, guys, do you think I write a lot of new material?" And they're all just lying and making up shit. And they're always just so.
They're like a Greek chorus almost in the funniest way. They answer you in the way, and usually we expect the Greek chorus to be truthful. So it's really funny that they are just
they're in on the bit.
They're bullshitting you in the funniest way.
And it's just the power of going out and having the band. And plus, I love at comedy clubs, people are not ready. You know, I did in D.C. over the weekend, I did this. They have a 75-seat room. Then they also have their 300-seat room. Yeah. I did the 75-seat room. I had a three-piece band. We just gave the whole room like a cool look. They gelled every light blue. So
is
you
this
walked
in the
in.
Arlington Cinema Draft House?
No, this was in the lounge at the D.C. Improv.
Oh, amazing.
But they don't know it. Like, all of a sudden, they walk into this room, and it's like really thick blue. The whole room is blue, and they're being sat, and B.B. King's playing.
Yeah.
And then the band goes up 2 minutes before the show.
Amazing.
And I'm like, it's like the show you would see in front of 5,000 people, but in a little room.
We loved it so much, and it represented, in our opinion, and it's a difficult thing to do when you've been in comedy as long as we all have. You've been in it a little longer than us, to evolve what you're doing to the next level. That's exactly what you did. It's amazing. We'll talk more
What's the name of the special?
The name of the special is Act Happy.
Act Happy.
Why Act Happy?
Why?
Well, you'll see. I wanted to call it, and you'll see it in the special itself, but I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have stuck to my guns, but I wanted to call it Suck My Pigeon Dick.
Yeah.
Which, because
fine.
In the special, I go, there's a joke when I go, "Suck my pigeon dick." And I go, "You know what? That's what we should call the special." But they said it might lose some
people. Actually think you should have called the special, "That's what we should have called the special." All right. This is Dumb People Town. You've joined us, and I'm so happy you've joined us because nobody riffs like you. And what we know is that the world is getting dumber. It's just getting dumber around us. The world is in flames literally and figuratively as the dumbness washes over. All we have is our comedy to defend against it. And that's what we try and do. So our dumb ears on the ground send us the stories to Dan Van Kirk. And
We've never heard him before.
You've never heard him before. Dan knows the stories. And we are going to try and make sense of what these people are doing. Daniel, what do we have first?
This is a fun story. It was sent in by Brandon Coffrin at DeLorean TARDIS.
Mm-hmm. So I don't understand any of that. Yeah.
DeLorean TARDIS.
Oh, okay.
People are yelling at me for I'm saying it wrong, and I don't care. Yeah. I think DeLorean is Back to the Future, and Charlize Theron was in that movie.
Okay.
Mason County, Michigan. Mm-hmm. A man is behind bars after deputies responded to what the Mason County Sheriff is calling, quote, an extremely bizarre incident.
So you know when the police
in Michigan
are saying this is an extremely bizarre, and they've seen most
on
everything.
On a Monday afternoon. Not when you're expecting people to be going off the rails.
It'd be like an emergency room doctor saying,
uh-oh,
guess what I saw a guy put in his ass?
Right.
Like,
uh-oh.
Because they see everything.
You don't want to hear anybody who's been a veteran of any job say, uh-oh.
Right. Even the, especially a pilot.
A pilot.
Excuse me.
Sorry, my mic was on. Yeah. Well, we already know it, so I don't know. Sorry, my mic was on.
Well, I mean, but by the way, that is the ultimate situation where they've seen everything. Like, you've been on a plane and you're traveling to a gig and it drops like 200 feet and you're like, this is it. We're dead. But the pilot knows that, hey, that's just the cloud we went through and I've been through a zillion of these clouds and it's no big deal. If he's like, oh shit, then you're in problem. There you go.
Sheriff Kim Cole said deputies were called to the EZ Mart BP gas station.
Yep.
In Scottsville. One S is the difference between Michigan and Arizona.
Scottsville.
Well, Scottsdale.
I'm trying to guess what it is.
What is it? What happened?
Oh, you're right. On US 10, for a man wandering in the parking lot covered in deer blood.
There you go.
That's... How do you end up in the gas station? Like, whatever ritualistic thing you were into at your house, why? What happened that you're like, I need to run to the EZ Mart really quick?
Is this the Masons?
Quick?
I don't know what the Masons do anymore, but is this the Masons?
Is this part of, like, a Mason... Like
you mean a ritual?
Yeah. Is it like he covering?
Wait, do you know the answer to this? Why?
He does.
No.
We'll get there. But
you honestly don't?
Okay, but let me put it together because it's action. It's all actions that are happening. So he covers himself in deer blood.
Maybe.
Or the deer, he shoots a deer and it just explodes on him. Fine. You've got deer blood all over you. You're going to go to the EZ Mart. Maybe you want to pick up a Hostess cupcake or something.
Maybe some paper towels.
The problem is
chapstick. What if we get in the way of the story for no reason?
He might have chap lips. He might need some chapstick. He might want to go for those.
He'd probably go for Carmex over.
Maybe he wants to buy Advil two at a time.
Sure.
Yeah. So expensive. It kills me every time.
$4 for two pills. Yeah.
And I want three, so I got to open the second one. Right. And I go, fuck it. Just
what are you
going to
do? You take four. You just say, fucking take four. Yeah.
Do you have an even smaller bottle of mouthwash? I want half a drink.
No, I only want half of my mouth to smell good. The wandering around the parking lot. That's the thing. It was like
if he just went in and shopped with purpose.
Just went in and shopped with purpose. You're like, you just had a bad day. You got squirted by deer.
Yeah.
But if the wandering around the parking lot tells you that something's wrong,
even if he wasn't in deer blood and he was wandering around the parking lot, what's this
someone
guy
would be
doing?
Like, what's this guy doing?
I think he tried to kill a deer by hand and lost. Well, he didn't. I didn't see the deer.
He lost.
That's what you should see the other deer.
Yeah, right.
Witnesses said the man then sat in the front seat of a car that did not belong to him.
There you go.
If you're covered in blood.
Get
can't
indoors.
Do that.
Some people get mad if you lean on their car.
Right.
See, by the way, I'm not a guy that gets mad when people lean on my car.
No.
But all I care about is when I come out and I'm getting in the car. Make some attempt to go, okay, this is this guy's car and get off of it.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll admit, if I get out of a store and someone's leaning on my car and it's obviously my car and they keep leaning on it, but if they get off of it, they're like, sorry. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm not a guy that goes, excuse me. People need to lean on stuff. They're tired.
Imagine filling up your gas.
Need to lean on stuff. Maybe he needed to sit down. People need to lean on stuff. People need to sit down.
Oh, but I was saying, but in that case, I might get a little upset.
If he's just covered in deer blood and
sitting in my car.
Riding shotgun.
To me says
literally shotgun.
Lock your door. Even if you're going in for a second to get some chapstick, lock your door when you're at the don't leave your door open.
Oh, by the way, one time I left my window open and I went into Subway and a guy came in real quick.
Yeah,
and
he goes.
He goes, who has the Volvo station wagon? Blue. I said,
nice.
I do. Yeah, cross country, no big deal. Anyway,
cross terrain.
I said, I do. He goes, well, you left your window open and there's a lot of stuff in the front seat. And I was real appreciative. I was like, you know what? I get lazy with that. Like, this was a good way to learn. He saw it. He noticed it. If he was
great,
a bad person.
Good citizen.
He goes, thank you very much. And I said, thank you. I get lazy with that. I ran out. I locked it up. When I get back in, he goes, I got to be honest with you. 2 years ago, I was a different person. I would have probably taken that shit. I was like, all right, you don't have to let me know. And then I used to have a joke where I'd go, that would be like if you saw someone dog. First of all, why do I have to go right to this?
But no,
that's all. That would be like if you were at a dog park and some guy goes, hey, I'd be careful, you know, keep your dog closer to you.
Yeah,
that's all. And 2 years ago, I would have fucked it. Well, sir, I'm glad you overcame
that.
I changed.
Yeah, I changed. If you change and you just change, you don't have to tell people what you used to be capable of.
Right. And also, you don't have to alert me what you might relapse into.
I think that's what happened. I think he was sort of his way of going, hey, I just want you to know
if I
could have done it. If I I eyed it up, I had the time, right. You were ordering your sandwich.
So I'm more telling you what I didn't do.
what I didn't do, but just which I didn't still do. Could.
Yeah. And the name of Todd Glass's next special, Todd Glass, the warning would have been enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
the warning is enough.
So back to this deer blood. Yeah.
Sitting in the front seat,
right.
Bloody.
Witnesses said the man sat in the front seat of a car that did not belong to him.
Probably took a deep breath.
I hope somebody was like trying to get it right to $19 and not paying attention that someone was getting in their into car their covered car. In blood.
Oh, this is at the pump?
Yeah.
What?
Someone's at a pump?
This is at the Easy Mart BP
gas
station.
I know, but you could have been parked in the front and gawked in the store, and then you come out and there's a bloody
guy. If you're parking in the front, you are either there for lottery tickets or cigarettes.
That's right. Or both.
What's the name of this store?
The Easy Mart BP gas station in Scottville.
Mm-hmm. Scottville.
S-C-O-T-ville.
They wanted to make sure, this is one entire sentence. This happened around 3 p.m. Monday afternoon.
Okay.
Which I feel like is a commentary on them being like, guys, this is 3 o'clock on a Monday afternoon.
3 p.m. on a Monday afternoon tells me this guy does not have a job. He's hunting during the day.
Maybe hunting's his job.
Maybe hunting's his job.
According to the sheriff, the man left and went to a trailer next door to the gas station. Convenient living.
Mm-hmm. Is that where he lives?
If you lived here, you'd be home by now.
There you go.
When deputies got there, they noticed blood in the yard and steps.
Blood in the Yard, my favorite Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, it is a good one.
My favorite U2 album.
It was actually my favorite Bob Dylan album.
Also,
go ahead.
What?
I mean, we have a running joke. It's either that's my first country hit. Uh-huh. I was in a jazz trio. That was our name, or it was a comedy team's name. And whenever my friend the other day goes, well, I'll have peanut butter, but not with jelly. And then you have to decide. Okay, so you just do it inwardly. You don't say, that was my first country.
That was my jazz trio. Peanut butter, but not jelly. What is that? That's just all hi-hats.
Right.
Just not like no regular drums, just all hi-hats.
When deputies got there, they noticed blood in the yard, on the steps, and on the front door of the trailer. That's detective work.
It's Passover.
Just follow.
That's Pesach. It's Passover. Want the angel of death to go over the...
Yes. Deputies knocked on the front door, and the man rushed at the deputies, screaming at them. So he came out.
He came in hot.
He came out hot. He was waiting.
I can just imagine him bloody, sitting down in the front seat of the car, and just taking a deep breath.
In his attempt to run at the deputies...
He's going to be fine.
In his attempt to run at the deputies, he fell off the porch. You kind of lose a lot of your steam when you've embarrassed yourself trying to do something dramatic.
I had so much respect for him before that.
They fell
now
off the
I'm
porch.
Not so sure anymore.
I was really on board with every move.
Do you think the cops were kind of like brace themselves? Then he slips probably on the deer blood, falls off the porch, and the cops are like, all right, just get up. Come on, let's go.
Come on.
Can I tell you something I just realized? The reason I don't mind hearing the end of a movie is because I can enjoy the movie if I know it's going to happen at the end better. So people just go, I don't want to ruin it. I go, no, you won't ruin it. You'll make me be able to watch it. I am so wondering how this ended.
Yeah, this is great.
That I can't really enjoy it as much as I want to because I'm like what happened? I don't want to overcurse.
The man fell off the porch and fought with the deputies in the front yard. So he got up still ready to go. Like they're probably like, you fell. It didn't work out. Oh, you still want to fight? Come
okay,
on.
Okay, here
you
we
already
go.
Fell.
Yeah.
Roy Purple.
That's his name. Oh my God.
Was arrested.
That's the name of my first country album.
I was in a jazz trio. The Roy Purple.
Well, the Purple sessions were unbelievable.
Did you guys hear that? Speaking of Purple, they're releasing found 68 to 1970 Jimi Hendrix recordings.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Purple, dude, I just never saw Prince doing Purple Rain when it started pouring rain
at the Super Bowl. Unbelievable.
Never saw it a week ago.
That was amazing.
I had the chills. I was like, wow, that made me want to be a better performer.
To me, it made me think that Prince could control the weather.
To me, it made me feel like it's worth the Bears losing this.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
I don't care. Yeah. Deputies knocked on the front door. The man rushed at them. He fought. And then Roy Purple was arrested for attacking the deputies. Deputies spoke with four people at the scene who they say the typo in this is perfect for what they were trying to write.
Okay.
Deputy spoke with four people at the scene that they say were extremely intoxicated.
So they say he was intoxicated or the four people
were
intoxicated?
The four people were
extremely
intoxicated. So imagine those cops being like, mind if I talk to you for a minute? You gotta talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we just want to talk to you about the man covered in blood. You're
Get
the man.
Off my lawn.
You're the man covered in blood.
Like, Get off
you
my
guys,
lawn.
You guys see what happened here? Did
just
you see what happened
four
here?
Four Foster Brookses.
Shut yeah, up. Just hammered. Like, Brr. You know what? I think I'm going to Sarge, I'm going to go talk to these four witnesses over here.
They'll folks, shed some light on it. Yeah. No, you shut up.
Right.
I'm doing four. The back room.
Yeah. President.
Sir, stop making CB noises at me. I'm the police officer.
Sorry. I didn't hear your radio. I wanted to.
You don't have a radio? You don't have a radio?
You don't have a radio.
I do. Okay, you're still doing it. I just need to get a statement from any of you people. That would be
great. Radio back on
sir, you're making
you
those noises.
Me intoxicated.
That's how you get out of getting a ticket. Now you know what you do. Mm-hmm. When they come up to your car, you go, "Officer, I got to be honest with you. I think you're pulling me over just because I'm black." And he goes, "You're not black." I go, "You know what? I like the way you think. Bye. I'll see you later, sir. Open your window. No, I like the way you think, and you're not black. God, I love the way you think. It's just you're all people. Bye-bye. See you later."
And then they'll, that's fine. I mean, the best part is they will not, there's no way to identify you after that point.
Thank
no,
you.
None at all. None at all.
Sorry.
So I love that all, no, don't,
please
ever,
don't
apologize
ever apologize.
And dumb people tell.
God, there is no you're apologies. Right.
I do have a question.
So all,
yes. Yeah, what is it?
I'll wait till after this.
No, go for it now.
Okay, to my safe word, whatever it is, yeah. Here today. All I kept thinking is, No. Do you really think the world's getting dumber, though?
Yeah.
Yes, totally.
See, I don't.
Why?
Now, do you think, do you ever not say it, and then you think, maybe we should have said it, maybe it's interesting. Do you not say it because it'll cause conflict, or do you say it?
I genuinely think the world is getting dumber.
Well, I think I can maybe clarify what you mean a little bit. I think dumb is winning right now. Like, it's paying to be dumb. Like, if you're a dumb person and you support and you wanted to win the election last year, you won. Like, the dumb of the South, the dumb of wherever, the dumb within this country who were like, let's get this guy, it'll be funny. Like, they won.
Well, maybe
there's winning going on the dumb side.
Maybe it would be interesting because this is like, you know, by the way, these stories, you know, obviously you can discuss them because it doesn't matter if you think the world in whole is getting dumber. These are certainly stories.
So
it doesn't negate. It doesn't negate.
No.
Because I love hearing these stories and then trying to figure out what's going on. So it doesn't negate that. But maybe I don't, but maybe I should have you two guys on a show. Like, sometimes I drop just issue-oriented shows,
yeah.
So I don't have to do it in the middle of my, you know, the show where it's silly. Sometimes in the middle of it, if it's 2 or 3 minutes, yeah, we'll chew something up, but then go back to the more lighthearted show. But maybe I should have you on instead of right now and discuss it, because I feel the now, I get topically how it can look that way.
Yeah.
I get topically how we can think that. It's not like, if I don't say that, I'll lose everybody. If I don't go, no, topically, I understand.
Uh-huh.
But I can, I adamantly disagree, and
great.
I think it's the destruction of the world that every person thinks that the world is getting dumber and dumber. But when we look back at the evolution of the world, even though some egregious, if we would just want to sloppily call it dumb or hateful or misinformation, leads to people's pain, yes, I get that. But still, if we look back at the history of the world, we'd never want to go backwards. But yet in the moment, I think you would agree, like, what year would you want to go back to? And by the way, just so you look, I'm being a little snarky, make sure you include the way we treated everybody, which most people do. And they go, we want to go backwards, how we're women, how we're black people, how we're gay people.
Yeah.
So what year would you want to go back to?
Maybe 90s, somewhere in the 1990s.
And then go on YouTube, spend an hour, and you'll be like, ooh.
Maybe. I don't know. The 90s, we lived in the 90s. Mid-90s. Way better than it is now. Like, way.
But would you look at better before women's rights, gay rights, where transgender people were just, are you looking at just how it was for you?
No. By the way, I think you could make the argument that now, yes, there's more awareness of all those things, but there is a tremendous backlash by the majority of our, a massive part of our country and the world to now say, you've got too much, squash that down. Yes, we heard you. Fine. You want to
I think also the delegitimization of the media and the calling of regular media fake news and then the propping up of actual fake news as real
news. That is the downfall of everything. That is going to make everything that's going on right now way worse than ever. Then you go back to the 70s and say that's a better time because people believed in facts. People believed in the truth. The truth actually meant something. Even Richard Nixon.
Well, then,
even Nixon was like, there were people in the thing who said, and he even said, I screwed, you know, he admitted to, there's admission of, to me, the whole, all of that is completely eroded away now.
Maybe we should do that instead of like, you know, like now you could say this was a tease and then, because I never have someone you care about or love, you know, I could say love, in the comedy community, your fellow comedians, you have an affection for, and then hear the opposing point of view. So because I think it's to really discuss it in its entirety where you're able to listen and not just talk, you have enough time. So let's tease it here, fine. And then you'll come on my show, and I would love it.
Because I think if you were to line up issue-wise, issue, I would say 90% of the issues of the world, if you line them up, the three of us would be on the same page. But this is a big thing, a big perspective of how we view the world. And I'd say the three of us, Dan, we agree. Dan and Jay and I believe wholeheartedly, I think, that the world is getting dumber. Do you agree or disagree?
If you want to be specific, I feel like it's getting more ignorant.
Yeah.
The ability now is that you...
I put that under the dumb category.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is a wonderful sidebar.
But it's like what's happening in today's society is people are choosing how much information they get and exactly where it comes from. So like Denzel Washington said, we no longer seek information, we seek affirmation. Hmm. So somebody could say, oh, I didn't hear about that or I didn't read that thing because they keep their phone and for their screen in front of their face and they choose to see whatever they want on Facebook. Whereas if you went back 25, 30 years ago, the news was the fucking news. So if you didn't know what was going on because you didn't read the Houston Chronicle or the Chicago Tribune or the LA Times, people would be like, "What the fuck? How could you not know thing?" People have the ability to choose to be more ignorant or only hear more of what they already believe rather than any sort of dissenting opinion or view. And that keeps people from thinking, having more constructive thought.
And open-minded thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
so... But it's hard. It's hard to cap it. But I think that's a good point because everybody got there. But I cannot wait to have this conversation.
Great. Let's do it.
I can't wait.
Fine.
Can I say one more thing quick?
Sure.
Yes. Of course.
I think that, like, I always say to audiences that there's somebody in this room that is alive, literally, not just comedically, because someone looked at things not topically. Mm. Like, topically, your tooth can hurt here. So topically, it looks like, let's drill here. Yeah. And where was your drill? Point to where it hurts. And how could you do anything wrong by drilling there? But Dennis knows. Thank God they figured it out that the pain might be over here. Mm. It's diverted pain. But that happens a lot. You have a doctor, he doesn't look at something topically, and then you're alive because topically it looked like, oh, this is definitely it. Mm-hmm. Abso-fucking-positively it. Mm-hmm. You get a brilliant doctor who doesn't look at it topically, looks at it from another angle, looks at it. And I think that's how social issues are. So the reason you're a lot of time, because topically, no flippantness at all. I hear what all three of you are saying. Matter of fact, you're saying smart things. I think you're wrong, and I think they should be answered, but you're right to ask them.
Sure.
You're absolutely right, and you deserve a brilliant answer, which takes a lot of time. But the joke I have in my act that I think answers this, the peanut allergy thing. Mm-hmm. Like, topically, yes, I really do. I'm not being flippant to say there weren't peanut allergies 50 years ago. That's a smart, wrong, but it's a smart thing to say, and someone else smart, not dumb. Smart people, intelligent, could go, you're right. There weren't peanut allergies 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Come on. If that doesn't make you think this is fake, that it's not real, topically. But then if you widen the scope and look at it from another angle, you go, oh, we didn't have peanut allergies 50 years ago, but we did have a lot of unexplained deaths.
Have you heard Burr's bit?
No.
He's like, you walk right, you say, everybody's...
You know I'm pro... I think peanut allergies are real.
That's what he goes. He goes, you think they're so smart, oh, nobody died 50 years ago, we didn't have any kid peanut allergies. He's like, no, you just had a friend who died for no reason and nobody ever knew why.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, and I think that's what this is, which we'll discuss on my show. Topically, I see how you're thinking people are getting dumber and dumber, but I think if you look at it from another angle, and that's what we'll do. Talk about a tease.
All right, let's finish this thing up.
Let's do it. So they hang out with four people who they thought would be their witnesses, who are all drunk, who can't help in any way whatsoever.
Of course.
I didn't even see blood on them. Witnesses say the initial man deputies made contact with at the gas station was covered in blood and waving around deer meat. So he had deer meat with him the whole time. He's probably trying to make a sale. Look, he's a meat truck salesman without the truck, but that's definitely
right.
the meat.
That's right. There was a bait. We used to go fishing. There was a guy who sold bait on the side of the road.
Yeah.
This is the way he sells his deer. Maybe he's trying to attract other bigger animals.
Maybe he was trying to bait a predator himself. And I literally mean
literally to catch
predator.
So this is to catch an actual predator.
The predator.
An actual predator.
The men were apparently cooking venison in the backyard. Sheriff Cole said alcohol was a major factor in the unusual situation. Major factor in the unusual situation is almost every Dumb People Town story.
And again, if the trailer is out in the woods somewhere and nowhere near a gas station where regular people come and do it, fine. Go and enjoy yourself. Walk around with blood all over you in the woods. That's very tribal.
That's what they say.
Have you eaten deer meat ever?
Oh,
yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
More times than I could ever count.
Yeah, I never have.
It's actually pretty good.
I'll get you
pretty
some.
Good. It's steakish. Yeah, I've had venison jerky.
Is it gamey, like buff bison?
No. Bison is a little more gamey.
Okay.
But deer, venison is actually pretty good. It tastes like veal. Almost, if you will.
According to Sheriff Cole, until the one individual chose to run at the deputies, he had landed himself in trouble. I hope that's a joke on the fact that he fell.
Yeah.
Also, that's what they're saying, that this is fine. They're like, if he had just walked around, we could have said he was a disturbance, but
he got up and started fighting cops.
And then, sat in somebody's car. You could have just been a weird guy with meat.
Yeah.
There's plenty of weird guys with meat in Michigan.
Weird guy with meat with blood on him in a parking lot gets a warning.
Right.
Drunk. Cookout.
Sitting in cars,
by the way,
fighting cops, you get busted.
Right. Also, to me, the blood all over him feel like I've cooked. I've worked at a barbecue before and even grilled on the grill. You don't get that much blood on you. You know what I mean? Like, you have to work at a butcher shop.
That's what I was saying. Like, he might address the deer, but also if you get blood all over you, address the deer, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it. Trust me.
Yes.
This is what I love with the cop says. Sometimes all you can do is just shake your head and walk away. No, you're the cop.
No, you're the guy.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah, we shake our head.
Well, he's crazy, guys. Let's go. He says you can't.
That's actually something you can never do as a cop.
Yeah, you can't shake your head and walk away.
You can't make this stuff up. You also can make
this
stuff
up.
Yes, I love that when comedians go, "You can't make it up." I go, "Yes, you can."
Yes, you can.
Oh, how? You make it up.
Everybody makes it up.
You go, "Hey," it's like you couldn't make it up because you go to say it, and you're like,
"Right."
So the other day I was,
can't
make it up.
It's like the Fonz trying to apologize.
Roy Purple's bond has been set at $3,500. I'm going to ask you guys now.
So he only needs $350 to get out.
We'll get out on this.
Sell the deer meat.
How old is Roy Purple? Now, Todd Glass, you are a guest. You can go first, you can go third, or you can go Tig, which is
Tig
the second spot.
Based on everything we heard.
What we know. Middle afternoon on a Monday, covered in deer blood, drinking at a trailer.
Four friends.
Got
knows
friends
how to
them. They're also drinking.
So it has nothing to do with the bail amount?
No.
Okay.
Just how old? Now you, which position do you want to go in? First, last,
first?
Or Tig?
Last.
Okay.
All right.
Jake, this guy's 41 years old.
41.
This guy is 27 years old. I say 27 and divorced twice. Ha!
Randy says 27. Jason says 41.
What do you say?
I know.
You know what? Can I tell you? I love to guess.
Yeah. The guessing is the best.
So much fun.
It is. It's
guess
wonderful.
The aging.
And all of our people who are listening at home are guessing.
They're all guessing
wherever they're at right now.
It's fun to guess, and there's no stakes.
None.
Well, there's deer meat.
Venison steak.
thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Folks. At Todd Glass.
I thought what you thought.
41?
And I don't know why, because I thought, I bet this guy thinks he's still like 19 and 20, but next thing you know, you're 41 and you're doing this. He has a house. He's in his house. I'm going to say, I can't agree.
Can't
I have to go a little.
So
I'm going to say 39.
39. Okay. 39, 41, 27.
And for the hell of it, since who said they had kids? You did.
We both did.
I'm going to say, do you know if he has kids?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say no kids.
No kids.
If he does, they're not speaking.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
I just like
it
to
guess.
How much I like to guess.
He doesn't have them
he's
this
He's not speaking
weekend.
To his kids, okay. But he's speaking to his kids' kids.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
You tell
okay,
your
so
mom.
39, I said.
You tell your
mom. Okay. In this round of Guess the Agey. Roy Purple is.
He's definitely said the phrase, you tell your mom I brought her into this world.
Yeah.
To his granddaughter.
Ready? That's a comment.
Uh-huh. You tell your mom about it.
Roy Purple is 62 years old.
Oh, wow!
God!
Thank you.
62. I'll take Jason,
by the way,
it.
That makes
you should have guessed a year old.
That makes it even crazier to me. Because a 62, now you start to think about health issues. Now you start to think about what is this guy?
Yeah, so what, like, what do and we I, hope we're doing at 62? When you're 62 years old, Todd, do you want to still be doing stand-up?
What a great question. I go back when I feel like, you know, you when you're 30, yeah. you think you're getting old. When you're 25, you think I'm not a kid anymore.
Right.
Every year, you think it doesn't matter. And I love to look at the old performers, like old, like, you know, rat, old days, like not like
Rickles.
And Rickles. And,
yeah.
and when Newhart. I bet when they were 80 and 90, they look back when they were 62 and they think, oh, I wish I was 62 again.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely want to be doing stand up when I'm 62.
Of course you
do. Absolutely.
Yeah. I actually feel like, again, and we'll take a break and then we'll come back, but I actually feel like where you're heading with it,
the direction of your
special, to me, lends itself to a, not more mature, but more of a show that you can grow into as you age up. Because to me, you can go out and do stand-up right now, and I remember seeing you do stand-up 20 years ago, like we said, and there's no difference. You're the same person. You've grown a lot as a human being, but you standing on stage doing the type of material you do, there's a Todd Glass joke that was funny in 97, and it's funny in 2017, and it's the way you look at the world. Seriously, I'm seriously telling you this, that's the Todd Glass thing that makes me laugh either way. However, the way you've added, what you've added in elements yeah. of the thing, I feel like you will grow into this, and you could do this when you're 62 and 72.
I have something that I want to do, but we can talk about it when we come back.
All right, let's take a break.
My idea for how I would want to go on the road if I had endless amount of money. And maybe I do a... Wait, we'll talk about it.
Okay, let's take a break. This is the first story down in the books. Yep. Todd Glass, we all disagree on whether or not the world's getting dumber.
And I won. I can't
believe
I won.
You won.
Actually, I won.
Actually, Jason
I know.
All right, and we'll be back.
I won.
More Dumb People Town right after this.
I'm dying. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town.
That was a great tease, Todd.
Yes,
you really,
you
are passing away. We're all dying on some the second you're born, you start dying.
You kept everyone through the break. I really appreciate it.
Right. I know what I'm doing.
What would you do? How would you tour if you had all the money in the world to support yourself?
Okay, I thought about it. Okay, so really quick, I can't go and get keyboard guys in every city now because I have to have a guy that he's got my iPad right next to him. He's got the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to edit small videos.
You have a relationship.
Know? Yeah. So and then we use local drummers in the beginning. I can make that work.
Right.
And then you get some, you get maybe two people. Well, that could work. But if I had endless amount of money, you know, David Foster's.
Yeah.
He's like a music producer.
Yeah.
He came to see a show that I was opening for somebody. And
was he married to a woman who was like a real housewife of...
I don't think so. He's like, he's one of those guys, even if you don't know his name.
I think he was.
Was he married to Nene Leakes?
Oh, no, sorry. No, Jason's knowledge of Bravo,
is all through.
Bravo shows.
Jesus.
Literally.
So he came to the show
happy
as
Jason.
And then my fantasy became, because this is a guy, if you look up who he's produced, he's produced everybody. And then I saw him again.
Yes, he was.
See?
Right?
This dude.
Right, that guy.
Yes, he was married to, I don't think he is anymore.
Right.
He was married to, anyway.
But he's still
produced
friends with Lisa
so
Vanderpump.
Many people.
Stop.
Yeah. Then I saw him when I went to see Paul Anka, which, by the way, we can talk about it another time. It was the most exciting thing I've ever done.
Anka.
My whole career. Yeah.
Anka.
It was amazing.
You should open for Anka.
I don't know if his audience would like it, but, so when he was there, I had this weird fantasy, like crazy, that he would see me, like my comedy, and then what I want to do is merging sort of music, and that if someone had the budget to do a tour where they spend money on the advertising, we put it, even if it's like 200, 300 seat theaters in the beginning, but you spend more. Like now I'm trying to make it work. Okay, I have to go into this venue. Here's what I'll make.
Sure.
Where someone puts money into it, I have like a 7-piece band.
Amazing.
We take a tour bus out for a year. Someone says, look, if he does this through every city and it's the show, like that's sort of my fantasy.
Because, that would be amazing.
Oh, I would love it.
But I think if you sang 8 numbers, full songs.
Oh, no. I would do, it would be my stand up.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you threw the music in where you actually sing
I do.
Songs, because you have a great voice.
Well, what I do is, here's what I do. I can go, I'll have the band, I'll go, first I was afraid, and then the chimes will go off. Yeah. I was petrified. And echo. I kept thinking, how could I ever live without you? My mind's so... And then the band goes, you know? Yeah. And then when I go to hit the high note and I can't do it, I stop. I go, the band effed it up. Guys. Like, I always blame them. So I can hit a song,
sure,
and then I always back out of it. So I have 5 songs I do throughout the show. But then when I get to the point where I need to hit another note, I go, and then you goddamn it, this band. Stinking band, they can't rehearse.
That relationship between we were dying.
I can't get enough of it.
I can't wait for the special to drop.
I cannot wait. January 23rd, and people will see. Here's what I love about it. Because we watched a little bit of the special. We got an advanced thing, and I saw it. Room looks great. Looks beautiful. You were having fun in the same way you were having fun at the Improv Lab when we saw you just do it and you were trying out new stuff and doing it. You had moments, real moments. This is what I love about you. Everything is real. It's not even, you know, you do your special and you're like, this is the best version of my material. But at the same time, you should be having a real moment on stage.
I really appreciate you saying that, because on the last one, but again, I'm not mortified by the one that I did 5 years ago.
No, that was great. I actually love that one.
I'm glad that I continue to grow, because I once said to a friend of mine, I go, when am I going to stop being embarrassed of my work 5 years ago? He goes, hopefully never.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you want to say? You know, my best work was 5 years ago.
No. Of course.
So, but on the last one, I did. I started talking like, not like from the 80s, like, you know, with that over-processed, everybody had an over-processed delivery. And that was it. And then comedy gets more and more real. Mm-hmm. And I thought on the last one, I would catch myself. That's not the way I talk. Why am I? Because I was trying to keep it so polished.
Right.
And on this one, I literally wrote on the music stand, I had my notes, I kept turning the pages, which, by the way, that's the other thing that relaxed me, that I had my binder, I didn't have to hide it.
The turning of the page is funny.
And I talked about it. I said, don't think this is clinical, but my mind gets a little lost sometimes. This will just help me.
I love this setup. It makes so much sense.
And then on the other side, big black Sharpie, I wrote, talk like you talk.
That's amazing.
Meaning, like, don't overly polish it. So, and I remembered to have fun, and it was easy to have
God
fun.
Damn
I think
it,
those shows
it.
At the lab, and I think when this Netflix special drops and you 23rd. Get all this great feedback, when you record at the Lyric, your special in a week.
I already. Oh, guys, this is. Let me just clean this up very quick.
It's going to be perfect.
I thought that's what we were promoting.
Because this is all leading up to that show.
Okay, hold on.
I don't mean to be.
You're not doing anything.
No. We're ready for it. Todd, we're ready for your show.
And our fans are ready for it.
I feel like you're not.
Let's go into another story.
No, guys.
Dan, what do you have second?
No. Come on, please.
It's fine. We got more time. We'll come back to it. We'll tell people when the line
is. Special already. It's airing.
Wait for it.
When you do it, we'll be there to support you.
No.
Oh. Yeah,
John Doerr messed this up.
No,
I already air. I shot my special November 5th a year ago. It's airing January 23rd.
And
but it's already shot.
When you doing the special,
it'll be fantastic.
A great promo for
it. Okay. Dan, what do you got?
What's the title?
You should shoot the one at the Lyric. This was sent in by Nathaniel Greenleaf.
I can't believe that they're not
at Nathan.
So embarrassed.
Greenleaf. It's all the way you'd think it's be spelled, too.
How would you pass it?
All right, ready? Todd, we'll come back. You can tell people where this line up and everything.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yep. You should shoot the show you're going to do at the Lyric. It's never fine. Okay, here we go.
It's a cool venue.
I'm going to read you guys this headline, and we have a contender. I'm not saying they're going to take Jan Flato's spot in our town.
Oh, man.
Oh, now.
But they definitely are going to, like...
Jan Flato is a guy who was in one of these stories. Imagine like the Dear Blood guy.
Mm-hmm. And a million times better.
A million times better. He was at, and for those who are listening, I'm just explaining for Todd so that he's up to speed, that he was at a casino with a Russian woman friend of his. And he put money,
$100
into a slot machine. She pulled the lever, and that's a picture of him. You're looking at the lever, and they won $100,000, and their agreement was that they would split it in half. She took the money up to the thing and said, told the security guards, keep him away from me, because the rule is if you push the button, it's all your money.
It's who places the bet, not who pays for it.
And wait, hold on.
So this guy,
Jan Flato.
It was his money,
but she pushed the button. If you press the button, you get all of it. But they had discussed earlier, I'll give you the money, we'll put it in, and then we'll do it.
Nope.
She got it all, and she basically rooked this guy out of $50,000, which is a lot of money for this guy. We read the story. We all got mad at this
and
woman.
And help him. Are you helping him?
I would love to help him out.
We're working on it.
This guy... We have a Dumb People Town Facebook page, which has grown immensely.
Over 15,000 people.
The story and our podcast made its way to this guy, Jan Flato.
And he's joined the Facebook
page. He joined the Facebook community and regularly comments on our Facebook
page. Did anybody get, just because you never know, like, but my instincts are to go, the her version of it?
No. Nope.
Or is hers?
Her version is she's sitting with $100,000 and this guy gave the money.
And he's
money
not even giving, she's not even giving half of it.
None of it.
None of it.
No.
None of it.
But Jan Flato rides on. He took care of his mom through the Hurricane Irma. Was that the one that went through
Florida?
He
was in Vegas.
Who is she? Where is she at?
I don't know.
She's out of there.
But Flato stands tall.
So he becomes, and he has become in this show, in the lore of this show, he is a mythic creature and figure. And I think we have given him a ton of happiness just
inflating
the whole scenario. So Dan is saying that now we've got a guy who
either going to be mortal enemies
or
but he could join him on the
Dumb People Town on the Mount Rushmore.
Ready for the headline about this guy?
Let's hear it.
Self-taught rocket scientist / limo driver plans to launch over ghost town.
There we go.
This what guy has mean? Goals. Literally what
launch
I said.
Launch what over a ghost town?
61-year-old DIY enthusiast, stuntman, and limo driver Mad Mike Hughes is planning his first man launch of a homemade steam-powered rocket with research flat earth written on the side.
He's a flat earther.
Who wants to shoot himself into the sky so he can get a good look.
He's also
a limo driver.
Is he going to shoot a limo up in the sky? This is like Evel Knievel minus the Knievel.
Oh, we're going to get to that, too. Don't bring up Evel Knievel around Mad Mike Hughes. According to the AP, Mad Mike Hughes says he expects his new rocket to hurl him through the skies above the Mojave Desert ghost town of Amboy, which is also, just so you guys know, that's the town that the Disney Pixar's Cars was like modeled after.
Oh, nice.
He's going 500 miles per hour roughly 1 mile, attaining a peak altitude of 1,800 feet before it deploys two parachutes.
Couldn't he do it on a hot air balloon or a plane?
He's going
to
die.
Well, also, you need to be at 50,000 feet to see the curvature of the Earth. So going up 1,800 isn't going to prove anything.
He's not going to see that it is
flat. No, it's going to prove his theory that the Earth is flat.
Yeah. It's going to definitely... Right.
He's going to reinforce
when he smashes into
feet,
it.
There are buildings you can... Aren't there buildings 1,800 feet tall? I don't know.
I don't see no curve.
Maybe.
I don't know, Dubai, really.
There's probably like a 2,000-foot building in Dubai.
How long is the Empire State?
How big Sears Tower?
1,400. It's not 1,800.
Okay, so come on. Buy yourself 400 feet. You know,
get a ladder on top of the Empire State Building.
Not that different between 1,400 and 1,800. You're not going to see anything at 1,800 that you couldn't see.
Well, you know what? I think this guy proved somebody else's point that it's round.
Yeah.
By the way, he's not certainly...
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Mad Mike Hughes is a proponent of the flat Earth theory.
Mm-hmm. He and Kyrie Irving.
1,450 feet, 17.
Talk about looking topically. This is a guy that definitely just looks at things topically.
It looks flat to me.
Yeah.
So instead of putting himself in a rocket, which is he's making himself when he's not driving a limo.
By the way, I don't want to get back all the way on our discussion, Todd, but I will say that if it is our belief that perhaps the world is getting dumber and we are unwisely entering that endeavor, then aren't we in some level proving our point that the world is getting dumber if more and more people think the world is getting dumber when it actually isn't?
I'll keep it short because I know what you mean. But I think when we get together and we have this discussion, I might even get you to indirectly go, because you sit down and you go, you just start pulling up things on YouTube. You open the computer and go, here's how this was, here's how that was. Would you be willing to go back to 1990? And then I'll just go, you know, this was going on and that was going on and this was going on. And like I said, it's like sometimes topically, if you look at it from another angle, you'd be like, ah, shit, we do still have a lot of work to do, but I guess we'll go forward.
Maybe, but you have to be open to the fact that we might say this was bad and this was bad and this was bad, but I got news for you. This is worse and this is worse and
this is worse. That's why we're going to open
up. We're
going
to do it. All right, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, need to reopen it.
All right.
No, it's okay.
I believe if you could go forward in time, you could get a good spot in line for Todd Glass's special at the Lyric.
Exactly. I cannot wait for him to shoot.
I'm really excited about that.
According to the AP, Mad Mike Hughes says he expects his new rocket to hurl him through the skies, above the Mojave Desert ghost town of Amboy.
I love that he's trying to make it seem like a rocket being hurling through the skies is a new concept.
Yes, yeah. Also easily
it's
done.
It's what a rocket does.
Yeah. Also easily done on your own.
Yeah.
Mad Mike Hughes is a proponent of the flat earth theory. Mm-hmm. The Research Flat Earth Group has mm-hmm. donated money to his effort, so he got some
good.
Sort of
so
little
got
sponsor.
It's a little Kickstarter.
Yep. He actually does have a Kickstarter. When I post this thing on the Facebook page, feel free to watch all of it. Also, watch.
Do not give to
watch
it.
Two videos where one time he was trying to set a rocket off to see if it would work. He walked up to it and hit it with a pipe, and a huge thing of gas shot out and almost like hit him and knocked him over.
Good.
Then he shot himself off another time and didn't have the right type of parachutes, and the G-forces like messed him up for weeks. So why not do it again?
Yeah. For him, NASA stands for not as smart as.
Right. Mad Mike Hughes. Mad Mike Hughes does not, this is quote, he quote, does not believe in science, which he told the AP, quote, has no difference from science fiction.
Yeah.
Science is no different than science fiction.
But aren't you using science to send the rocket into space? I mean, isn't that a form of science?
I'm going to show you guys a picture of this gentleman. Mm-hmm.
61.
He'll
be on the Facebook page. He's 1 year away. Wow.
Look at him. He's got transition lenses.
Yep.
Wow.
A shirt that's older than all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Jerry Lewis from far away, but I might
not. It does look like a Jerry Lewis character.
Yeah, looks like if Steve Irwin, like...
The Crocodile Hunter?
Crocodile Hunter... What still died, but then continued to pursue
also,
other things.
Died not hunting crocodiles. So he zigged when you thought he was zagging. Like, oh, crocodile hunter, that's one way this is ending. Nope.
I think I can come up with another way.
Still died. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh,
he's still dead, but
he's dead.
Now going into another venture.
According to Mad Mike Hughes. Quote, if you're not scared to death, you're an idiot. Hughes, who once assured Ars Technica that he has a high IQ. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Or Ars Technica. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Quote, it's scary as hell, but none of us are getting out of this world alive.
Well, that's a great point.
Yes.
They say it ends in...
it all ends
like
the same
marriage.
Way.
They go, it ends in death or divorce.
Yeah.
Or both.
Then he said,
or
quote...
Both. I never thought about that.
I'm a walking reality show. We all are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That is
just
that
some
is
of us have
asking,
cameras and right. some don't, but we
that
all
is him
are.
Him asking to be on a reality show.
He declared, as he also made sure to tell everyone that he's going to leave enough food for his four cats just in case anything happens.
Okay. Oh,
so there's a little part of him that knows, leave something for the cats.
Yeah.
Leave
a little something.
Adding to the already somewhat troubling nature of the launch, the event will simultaneously serve as the launch of Mad Mike Hughes' California gubernatorial campaign.
Okay.
And the person who wrote this wrote in parentheses, because sure, whatever. I love that the person
writing this. Do we get to guess how old this guy is?
You already know.
61.
Well, I could have still done that.
That's right. Well,
that's how much I love guessing.
Tell you the end. We're going to have a fun guessing at the end
good.
Of this.
Okay, good. Love a good another guess.
Though the AP said the event would be live stream on Hughes' YouTube channel, his website says it will be available on internet pay-per-view. Not a thing.
Nope.
As someone else here whose name I can't read noted, Mad Mike Hughes has done a lot of this kind of thing, winning a Guinness World Record in 2002. For jumping his Lincoln Town Car stretch limo.
So
one of two quizzes. I'm going to ask you guys, how many feet did he jump his stretch limo to get the Guinness Book of World Records?
Todd, the wheels are turning. First or last?
I get to go last every time.
You can
pick.
If you want. Last. Okay. Fine.
I think last is always best.
Last
right?
is great because you get to see a lay of the land. Right. Something, you know, you actually get to take in all the research and then make an educated guess. Something that Mad Mike has never
done. Does anybody ever go first?
Yeah.
Sure.
Why? Almost.
They have a gut feeling
you got a
about
gut
it.
Feeling you're right. The world is getting dumb.
And they don't want their number taken. Randy, Jay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I think he went 20 feet.
20 feet?
That's a long way. A stretch limo?
That is a long way.
More than that. 40.
40 feet. Okay.
Todd, where do you
want to say?
He went up off a ramp.
What's this room here?
This room is probably 25 feet.
I'm going to say 20. 25 feet anyway.
Okay.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah.
So 20 from Randy.
Yep. 25 from Todd. And Jason says 40.
Oh. Okay. I'll
no, you can change it. You have another chance to change it. What do you think?
I hate to do this to you.
No, do it.
41.
Right, 41. Fine, 41. Okay,
remember, it's not Price is Right. You can just be straight up.
Okay.
Earning himself a Guinness Book World Record in 2002, Mad Mike Hughes jumped his Lincoln Town Car stretch limo 102 feet.
Whoa! That is amazing.
Yes. I love winning.
There you go. It feels good, doesn't it? And I know he probably kept all the like the napkins in the yes. tiny little tumblers
yep.
in the stretch limo.
Like, had he not done that, he could have had an extra 3 feet.
Extra yep. 3 feet. You take the napkins out.
I hope he did it holding.
They love putting those napkins. They
love it.
In the sticking out on yeah. the corner of
like
the thing.
Right. Like if you're in a car, when are you going to set the drink down?
Right.
To me, the second you pour the drink, you're holding it until you're done with the drink.
Right. Right.
I hope that he did it while holding
also,
his flat.
Also, who is going to care enough about someone else's car? You're like, I already paid for this. You clean it up. To be like, no, put a napkin underneath.
You can't
underneath.
Have a ring under
put
that.
Put a napkin underneath
right.
it. This
Fan
is,
it out.
Where are you?
Two questions. Do you think Mad Mike Hughes did it with one arm out the window?
Yeah. And, a cigarette out.
Two, do you think he has a picture in his house of him midair.
Mid.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna look for
oh yeah. And by the way, it's not a clear picture. It's a blurred because whatever camera right. took the picture doesn't have the ability to like motion right. get it stop it in the air.
It was taken with a flip phone in 2002.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, is that you?
Just don't mention Evel Knievel around Mad Mike Hughes. He's not a fan. This is a quote from him.
Yeah, of course he's not.
He was an average stunt guy.
Ooh. Ooh.
He stole his look from Elvis. That is,
yeah, I mean,
even if he did,
wasn't it a look at the times
when yes. we were talking about Elvis? The Elvis performance, there's a period of time where he was still kind of in shape. He looked like he played football. Okay. So he was still in shape. Okay. He hadn't gotten like fat.
3 years before he died, he looked pretty good. He had gained weight.
He had gained
but he
some
still
weight.
Looked, okay,
he
still
wasn't
good.
Like thin Elvis, yeah. you know, hip no. swinging, but he was a little more buff. And there's a performance I highly recommend everyone, and maybe we'll put the link of it on
sure.
the on the Dump Your Town Facebook
me.
Page. There's a performance where he does a song that I don't particularly love. I
Righteous
was never
Brothers.
Righteous Brothers, You Lost That Love and Feeling. I remember it in, you know, when they brought it back in Top Gun, there was the tongue in cheek version where Tom Cruise, clearly a gay man, sings it to these women.
Allegedly.
And to me, I was like
to a gay woman,
to Tell a gay woman, goes. To a gay woman. So that there was irony in all of that. However, I never loved that song until I heard Elvis sing it. Until I heard this version of that song.
Certainly,
it is so with the background singers.
It's crazy,
isn't it? The most soulful version of that song.
A lot of the songs are, and you know what? For a long time, even up till maybe 6 years ago,
yeah,
you know, because Elvis was just sort of, for me, under my radar. When he died, I think I was in second grade. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't like, Elvis. I always thought, to be honest, because I go the other way now, Elvis. You know, I only knew the bloated Elvis. It was sad,
yeah.
but that's the Elvis I knew.
Hawaii Elvis.
But if you back up 3 or 4 years, he was amazing.
Amazing.
But back up even further, that's when you know Elvis on the comeback special. Now, I know the special you're talking about, and there are some songs he does for What Now, My Love, and it's just like he does some great
versions.
So
the comeback special, he's in a black shirt, and he's just sitting in
black leather jacket.
And he has a raspiness to his voice,
yeah.
and he sings, and at one point he has the guitar,
yeah.
and he goes out a half a foot and then into his chest, and he's like, and that's when I go, if you're not singing like that, then get the fuck off the stage.
There is a passion, and then You've Lost That Love and Feeling, he even makes a joke as he gets down on his knee. This is like he's in a white jumpsuit, okay, in Vegas doing the thing. And he gets down on his knee.
Says,
and he,
baby, I get down on my knees for you if this suit wasn't too tight.
Makes that joke!
Wasn't this tight or
something. He was funny, but then at the same time, it wasn't like he took it off into just a
He's got this raspiness if you go back. One night with you. And he's like singing it. It's like a great to go back and watch that Elvis. Plus, he was, you know, absurdly good looking.
Oh, my God.
You know, then, and a great voice and a good sense of humor. And the
everything.
Fun, I think the special you're talking about, we like to say that's when he was doing drugs, but he still was on the better side of it.
That's right. It,
you
hadn't,
know,
it hadn't really taken him and really cut him down at the knees. And at any rate, you could be there are worse things you could be trying to steal your look from than Elvis, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
all that
for that one song.
Yes. Thank you. I like it.
Long way to go for it.
Hughes certainly seems to be aware that blasting yourself into the sky is not something that most people would consider a particularly good idea, given possible outcomes like being scalded by red hot steam or smashing into the ground at lethal speeds. But he also seems pretty determined to do this. So I guess we all owe it to him to hope for the best possible outcome.
No, we don't.
I don't want, you will never win an argument with this guy. I hope he has the. I mean, I hope he's okay ultimately. But if he has a bad outcome, let it serve as a
Well, I'm going to ask you guys this.
Flat Earth done come up and get him.
Yeah. Here's a little guessing time for you, Todd Glass. Ooh. How much money has Mad Mike raised to put into his rocket and setting it
on his Kickstarter?
From his Kickstarter.
Okay, Todd, you can. I know you want to go last.
And his donation by the Flat Earth Research people.
Okay, so he's been given donations.
But I can't imagine they're a big group.
Exactly.
Hopefully. Todd, would you like to go first, Tig,
go
or
last.
Third?
Ooh, go
okay.
Last.
Okay.
What does Tig mean?
Second. She chose to go second.
We always used to say first or last until Tig Notaro goes, I'm going to go second.
I want to go second between the squares. Yeah.
Okay, no, I'll go last.
Okay. Between Randy or Jay? Squares.
Would you call last a Todd from now on?
Yeah, we'll call it
Tig
first,
Todd or
first
Tig
or last. First Tig or Todd.
Tig Todd, first, Tig, Todd or Timmy. I would, when we had Tim Allen on the show, Tig Todd or Timmy, I would say they've raised about
$2,000. $2,000 from Randy Sklar. Jason Sklar says
more than that.
More
I
than
say
that.
$9,000.
$9,000.
Didn't they say they had money coming from that organization?
Yeah, the Flat Earth organization.
Okay, so I'm going to say,
you know, they've got deep pockets.
$15,000.
Wow.
He used the money.
Todd, by the way, just took a lay of the flat land.
Yeah.
And then made his.
Well, I figured there's a lot of people that really want to prove it. They'll give money out of what they even have to give.
That's right.
I mean, they'll spend more than they have.
Mad Mike Hughes, as of us recording this and me reading that story when it came out.
Look, I didn't believe this guy could jump a stretch limo more than 20 feet, and he fucking proved me wrong five times. So I said $2,000, so I'm now feeling regretful.
He has raised, so far, when we're recording this, as far as I know, $20,000.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy.
Which includes Rust-Oleum paint to fancy up his rocket and a motorhome that he bought on Craigslist that he converted into a ramp.
Converted a motorhome into a ramp just so he can shoot right off the ramp. Sky.
Oh, man.
All right, God bless him. I hope when he's up there, he actually has an epiphany and he actually looks down and says, you know what? As he's up in the air, this is what I hope. This is my hope for it. He goes up in the air, raises the money, comes back down and says, you know what, Flat Earth Society, we were all wrong. It's actually
wrong. He won't. Definitely.
How great would
it
be if he sees his life flash before him and he says, you know what? I got to say this for at least for the three of the four cats I own. It's round. It's not. You know what I mean? All right. That's story two down in the books. Todd Glass is with us. He's got a great new special that will be coming out on Netflix on the 23rd called
Act Happy.
Act Happy. On Netflix. You'll understand why. I'll be back with our last story. What are we, what are we looking at?
Oh, bad action on a flight.
Bad action on a flight. What were you going to say,
Todd? Or good, depending on you.
Okay, yeah, we're going to do it. All right, we'll be back with more Dumb People Town right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Follow Todd Glass on Twitter. He's a great follow. And on the Insta, you do it on the Instagram.
I'm just starting to.
Just starting on the Instagram. Follow him at Todd Glass. Let's get to this last story.
Here we go. It was sent in by Mitch Habba, at Mitch Habba. One witness, quote, felt bad. I felt bad.
Yeah.
For the cross-country airline passenger situated on the end of a three-seat row where a man and a woman were engaged in a sex act, according to release by police.
You're flying to a gig, you're sitting there, and two people are getting it on.
Right.
And
she said, plane.
On the plane.
And that's she said, so I feel bad for the guy on the end, quote, but I guess he was sleeping.
Oh.
She said, is it in the back near the bathroom and it's dark and it's through the night?
No. This is,
you know,
she
I
said,
can't have sex, honey, until I smell like a hockey puck that's menthol, you know, sort of a thing.
She said a man and a woman were kissing and then the woman began performing oral sex on the man, quote, which wasn't nice, she wrote in her account.
Under the tray table, you hear the head
backing. I get
up
nervous when there's like a little nudity on someone's laptop, right? Yeah.
That's the tray table. She's heard the back of her head is hitting the tray table. Thanks. Todd.
Get this. The pair, strangers before the flight.
No.
Wow.
We're aboard an afternoon Delta flight from L.A. to Detroit. This is an afternoon flight, L.A. to Detroit. These two people do not know each other.
Johnny Carson were alive. Fry the friendly skies.
Shot that timer. That was a long one.
You are free to move about his cabin.
Cock and balls.
I guess she was in the cockpit.
The alleged exhibitionists were held by police upon landing until an investigator from the FBI arrived. They were temporarily jailed and issued citations for disorderly conduct.
That's a little too much.
The pair initially denied that there was any oral sex, claiming the woman had innocently placed her head on the man's lap to sleep.
A stranger's lap.
Can you mind if I lay down here? The woman had a 0.12 blood alcohol level, according to the post-flight breathalyzer test.
Hey, I'm not flying a plane.
The man, although, his blood alcohol content level was, Todd, do you want to go third? Randy or Jason, here we go.
I'll take it.
You're going to take it?
Okay, fine. I think he was a 0.8.
0.08
would be ridiculous. 0.08.
Okay. She was at 1.0.
She was at 0.12.
0.12.
What do you say?
What are you saying?
I say 0.08, which is the legal limit.
0.08 is the legal limit?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2.
0.2. Wow, that's a lot. Hammered. Okay, that's hammered.
0.03.
Okay, so he was not.
So you even went higher than me.
Lower. 0.03. You said 0.2. That's a lot. That's above her. Okay.
The man had a blood alcohol content level of 0.06.
Wow. Oh, so I was
by
right.
Two, by Randy, two, Randy.
I get
two.
It. 0.06. So he wasn't
but he
legal.
Didn't appear
he
drunk.
Wasn't legally drunk and didn't appear drunk.
He knew what he was doing.
A flight attendant, also a witness, said she walked up on the player during the Delta flight en route to Detroit from L.A. Mm-hmm. and observed the woman's head partially covered beneath a blanket, bobbing as she performed oral sex.
So that wasn't sex.
It was oral sex. Yes. But there was definitely a happy ending.
Especially on what your definition of is. Mm-hmm. The flight staff ordered the woman to, quote, sit up straight, and the man, quote, tried to apologize to me. The flight seems to me like they were like, sorry.
Yeah.
Can we just
sit up straight, man?
The man was jailed for nearly 5 hours, the woman 7 hours. Upon release, police helped her recover her luggage and intended to help her book a new flight to her destination because she missed the original one while being in airport jail.
Where was she flying to? Margaritaville?
Delta Security.
If no one's around and you're in the back of the plane, I mean, you know, I've never done it, but
I've seen it happen. I've seen some stuff down on a plane.
I saw a man
and a woman. Didn't we see this? Were we on the same?
They were like fighting with each other.
They were arguing at first, and then I think she liked his
argumentativeness,
and then they switched and sat next to each other and like flirted the entire flight. Nothing ever happened, but definitely.
If either of them were drunk, I could see it going to this.
Totally. Yeah, no, I watched it go down. And then they looked at me like, and I was like, what? You're doing this in front of me.
Yeah.
I get to watch.
Good for you.
This is an airplane. she missed her original flight while she was in jail. The woman said Delta told her that she wouldn't be allowed on any other Delta flight. So she rebooked with another airline and stayed overnight in a hotel.
She should go Virgin America. The lighting's better.
Folks, hello.
It's more of a party.
Those are our stories, kids.
Love it. Wow. All right. Let's take a quick, and we'll do this later, but let's get him out of here.
But I want to tease our show we're going to do. One more thing.
The show.
We don't even have to discuss it now.
Okay, here we go.
All right, before we get out of here, this is Todd Glass. Check out his special. We've teased what our show is going to be when we come on your podcast.
Is the world getting dumber, or is it not getting dumber? We'll discuss it with Todd Glass.
I'll even give my point of view on this. Other thing we'll discuss because it all ties together.
Let's hear it.
I think it's no disrespect to the greats of comedy. I think if they were aware at some conscious level, they'd be glad that comedy evolved after they were gone.
Sure.
So it's not by any means what I'm about to say, you know, whether it's George Carlin or Richard Pryor or Lenny Bruce. It's not to say, oh my God, good comedy will live forever and be as good as it was then. But I think comedy is getting better.
Agreed. I actually agree with that. I won't just...
So it's sort of... I'm going to work that to...
Into the whole thing.
That's...
You might even be making our argument for us because sometimes comedy is better when the world is dumber. All right. No. That is the show. You never know.
We'll talk about it.
We'll get into it with Todd Glass. Check out his special. Thank you so much. And oh shit, we got to get back to work.
Dumb.